Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Alkonen and we're going to recap some of the economic data out of the U.S. that drove markets in the short term at the tail end of the week. Also recapping earnings, especially out of the tech sector, that have surprised to the upside, even though the companies still spend a lot on AI. Boy, oh boy, those tech companies still generate a lot of cash. Joel is the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Joel, quick comment on the economic data we saw this week. GDP out of the U.S. for Q1 shows that the economy is slowing. Estimates were over 2%. GDP came in at about 1.5%, and that tied in with inflation data that shows inflation is still staying strong, I guess we could say, or higher than I'm sure the Fed would like. It's a different measure here of the PCE when you look at GDP and then also look at the actual PCE number from this morning on Friday. But Joel, what's your take on how the economic data is playing into the markets, which did cause some weakness yesterday, and now markets are being bought today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. I guess the PCE data was bad yesterday, but it's good today. I guess if that's the way you want to look at it. You can look at it two ways. GDP slowing. Well, yeah, the economy's backing off a little bit, but that also could be non-inflationary. So I just think going back to the whole, you know, interest rate debate, the great interest rate debate, is it stable for longer? And I hope that that's something that I've been consistent in saying over the past couple months. You had a historically fast increase in interest rates. Impact of the economy is not going to take days, weeks, months. It's going to take a year, 2 years to play itself out. So the data is offsetting itself. GDP weaker. Well, that could be a good thing. Maybe the Fed will, you know, loosen the buckle a little bit. But it's just stability, 4 or 5%. Let your people earn that on their money, the people on fixed income. So stable for longer. I have said it several times. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, Joel, you've been consistent with stable for longer, and it seems like the markets and the economy is settling in. There's not really any major macro news that's really pushing the markets around anymore. It seems like most investors are focused more on the micro news, the individual earnings for these companies. So let's dive into earnings season. What are some of the big takeaways from Q1?
Well, I mean, you mentioned just before we came on, you mentioned like some of the transports, you know, being weak. But when I look at the transports, like some of these airlines, except for Southwest, I don't know what they're doing it wrong, but UAL blows it away. That's had a nice move, holding the gains. Delta, I guess this is more your leisure stocks. I mean, this is just indicating that people are still spending money. But tech wins. Look at the earnings. Meta, they did beat. They were a little tepid on their guidance. It got hit. They use that as an excuse to hit the S&Ps off the PCE and GDP data. But, I mean, earnings, that's the most important thing of the market. That's the most important fundamental. Earnings for, Google, blow it away, right? Just making tons of money, using it to reinvest in their company. Then they initiate a dividend. So all your non-dividend, investors, or this, let me say the dividend funds, they have to stick to adding to it. Of course, some take a year, 5 years, 10 years, some even 20 years of the dividend aristocrats, but it attracts a whole new kind of investor here. So Google blows it away. Microsoft hit yesterday off the Meta numbers. They blow it away. You know, really not much more you could ask for after just a major reversal in the markets yesterday. We were actually 100 points in the S&P points off that low. So, man, this market, I know I was on 2 weeks ago. I said, don't buy the dip. Well, you should have bought the dip last Friday, and I wasn't here last Friday. The overnight dip. I guess also another thing is you mentioned this, Shad, on the macro end. There's no, Israel, Iran, they're not in a full-blown war yet. Bullish.
Man, look at that gap in that Google chart today. That just popping higher, up over 10% right now. But Joel, how do you look at a month like April here where the markets got off to a pretty weak start? They were trending lower, lower, lower. But as we're moving to the end of the month and as we add more and more earnings, we're seeing a little bit of a comeback back to the markets. is that positive in your eyes that there was this bit of weakness? It did last a little bit longer than recent weakness has, but it is being bought back.
Yeah, very important point. You know, it's good for the market to have a cooling off period, right? You had a succession of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 thick green monthly candles, right? And now you have one red candle. Of course, the month isn't over until next week. But it's always good to have cooling off periods in the market, you know, to be able to, you know, have a pullback and find support. Pullbacks are just so sharp and decisive. You really got to be out there. But we're going to look at one or two things at the end of the month, and we should have an interesting chat next Friday. After this five-month winning streak, pretty much looks like you're going to have a red candle unless you can get rally another 100 handles. I'm not going to put anything out of this market. But this is what the tell will be. It's like, how we start in May? Is it sell in May and go away, the old traditional saying? Back when you had five up candles in a row back in mid-2023, you had three monthly candles down in a row, which was good. Built another base, made a higher low the following month anyway. So, I mean, to think that the full correction's over may be a little bit optimistic after one red monthly candle. But just the earnings right now, right? If these companies are coming out, beating, raising, guiding higher, the market has to take that into account and make price it accordingly.
Well, Joel, just following up on that point you made from the technical standpoint, I think you're right that with the earnings season excitement, it could reverse some of these trends. We'll see how next week closes out the month. But when you see five green candles in a row on the bullish side and then one red candle, could that signify a turn technically where you maybe get like that 2 or 3 months off? And then would you be buying that dip, and where would you be looking for support to come in, I guess, on a monthly basis?
Boy, oh boy, it's a tough can. I mean, we'll see where the candle ends on the month, right? We have a shorter month coming up in April, right? So the month ends on Tuesday. Like to see where everything shakes up. I will look at, you know, the mid-range, you know, on some of the stocks that have had significant pullbacks. I will look to see if that mid-range point coincides with any, you know, former resistance. But, you know, the start of the month in May will be very important. That we've had just a tremendous rally since yesterday's low. We'll see if it carries through. We do have some big earnings reports. Apple next week, AMD next week. So a couple of big techs are still yet to report. But right now, you know, the jury's still out. Everyone's talking about, you know, how bad of a month it is. But if you look at that, and I just can't believe the way people talk. I mean, look at what the market has done over the last 5 months, and you're not even have a 5% pullback, and you're going to complain about it? I mean, come on, give me a break. I think people are just too spoiled. But I think when I talked to you before, I was like neutral to bearish, and we did have a significant client. I haven't been on in 2 weeks. You know, now I guess I would say I'm neutral to neutral. I can't, you know, after that, that rebound off the low. But still some big earnings reports to go. Then you get into retail earnings season. We'll see if people are still spending that money.
I like that. Neutral to neutral, right? It's kind of a mixed market here after we finally got some weakness. Some other sectors that have been pretty strong, continuing to be strong this month, were commodity sectors. A lot of them, precious metals, base metals, even energy, were moving strongly to start this month. They've lost a little bit of that momentum. You look at something like crude is right back to close to where it started the month. Gold, silver, those are still up for the month, but they are a little bit off their highs of a week or two ago. Copper's just kept on running higher, almost relentlessly higher. What catches your eyes in the commodity sector?
Well, the crude, I mean, first talking about crude, I mean, you had that bump with the unrest in the middle. I mean, all this can come unraveled with an outbreak of a major war in the Middle East. But, you know, crude spikes up, you know, everything. Oh, we're going back to 100. It has, a check back. You can look at copper and you can say, hey, you know, copper's good. It's keep it going. That means because they're building, they're using it. You know, we're still building things so that you can look at it that way. Gold is just, you know, you guys know I'm as puzzled as ever at gold. Very important for you gold bugs here to keep an eye. You got nearly to 2450. You had a tank. You had a, you know, a little bit of a consolidation and a break to 2300. The impetus, and this is basis, the front month contract in the June gold. Keep an eye, 2375. Haven't hit that back yet. Getting in back to that big red candle that you had after the consolidation. Silver, you know, never really, you know, came back. Gold was the leader. But when you have, you know, the significant move higher, wow, it did get over 30, the futures. So for silver here, I'm seeing if it can get back to this 2850 level, hang in there, and then get back up and test 29. So for every move, there's a counter move. Of course, with commodities being higher, it's a negative for a lot of inflationary, you know, from an inflation standpoint. But then you look at it from another standpoint, that means that there's demand. And if there's demand, supply is somewhat limited. You know, that means people are still spending, right? And that's what keeps the economy going.
Well, Joel, I know another market you follow very closely is the financial sector. And today we saw Goldman Sachs breaking out to a new all-time high. Some of the other financials, kind of a mixed bag. What is your read on the financial sector?
You know, stability, you know, as long as you don't have your regional banks blowing up, a lower interest rate. You used to think a higher interest rate environment would favor the banks. But, you know, with the bad loans on the books, that hasn't turned out the way to be. But, man, if you look at that, the financials, you look like something like Goldman Sachs making a new all-time high today. Morgan Stanley got hit on some bogus news. That's back up. Not at its all-time high, but back at a recent high of the move. A little bit of dividend protection. JP Morgan was thrashed off its good report. Just ran into too many sellers. Important point for you JP Morgan owners, 200 to 180. You've cleared that 190, but you're back at that gap area from the earnings. Very important for JP Morgan to clear 195. So stability in interest rates, not, you know, letting the banks, you know, reset their loans and everything. That's what the market wants, and that's what's being reflected in several of the financials.
So, Joel, as much as we have the month rolling over mid-next week, I think we both probably would agree that the markets are going to be fairly handcuffed in terms of major moves because of the Fed meeting. Next week, the press conference, everything going on Wednesday, where markets seem to simply wait for what Powell and the Fed are going to say. What are you expecting? What are you watching out for?
Nothing. Nothing. They're going to do nothing. They're saying, yeah, some of the data was good. Some of the data is bad. We're data dependent. We're a little bit behind where we want to be, but not going to incite a panic, you know, and say that interest rates are going up and the lower rates when the data supports it. I mean, it just like I said, stable for longer. Just that's what Powell's going to preach. And the market will probably interpret it bullishly. I mean, he seems to really have his magic. So it's hard to be short the market going into these Fed meetings historically, and they've rallied into it. So that's my take on the markets.
That sums it up. Thank you, as always, for your time, Joel. We'll post a link to the pre-market prep website below, and we'll chat with you next week. I hope you have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks, guys.